Diversity.
Years have caused confusion.
Oh, trashiest moron.
Last week, Tucker Carlson invited on Daryl Cooper, also known as Martyrmaid, who has been on this channel in the past. Now, I don't know Daryl well, but he was lovely when he came on my show, and we are mutuals on Twitter. He has been getting a very hard time at the moment, so I want to give him a bit of moral support, and you should too. During the course of the interview, Carlson asked him about Winston Churchill. Someone many fans of this channel will know, I have quite strong negative feelings towards, given the way he trashed the British Empire and bankrupted this nation and sold its power and assets to the Americans, all to gift Poland and Eastern Europe to Joseph Stalin. Well done, Winston. Now, I was a little stunned to hear Tucker go there, but let's take a little watch of the clip.
But from a Western perspective, I think it's fair to say, our leaders make the case implicitly, that it's really only when Europeans have a sense of themselves as Europeans that the world is in peril, but everyone else is fine to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's they don't see those other people as a threat, you know, either because the people who formulate these narratives don't live in those places, or they don't have historical experience with those people, and so they don't see them as the same kind of threat.
So Germany is because totally self-hating place. It's a husk.
Yeah.
It's depressing as hell, though also wonderful in a way, but it's going away. But they lost, at least you could say they lost two world wars in a row.
Yeah.
Britain won two world wars in a row. And if anything, it's more degraded than Germany. So like, just to take it back to the first thing I said, and I'll shut up and let you answer. But if Churchill is a hero, how come there are British girls begging for drugs on the street of London? And the place is, you know, it's just there. London is not majority English now. Like, what? Yeah.
Well, the people who formulated the version of history that considers Churchill a hero, they like London the way it is now, you know?
But that's not victory. That's like the worst kind of defeat, is it not? I mean, I'm just confused.
If you're an English person who cares about England, then yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, it's, forget about victory and defeat. It's the worst thing that can happen. You know, if you look at what's going on over lately in England, where you're having riots, you're having these, you know, sort of budding violent confrontations between nationalists and the police and so forth, which, you know, I think our natural, we like order, right?
Yeah.
Like Europeans, we like order, and we see things like that, and we have a natural aversion to disorder. To street violence.
Yes, for
like
sure.
That. We might be, you know, war might be necessary, but disorderly mob violence, things like that, like immediately make us kind of take a step back because most of our experience with those things is really bad. And at the end of the day, like it is an unleashing of evil spirits, no matter what the cause or the reason is. And yet when I look over there at what the British people, some of them are trying to do, I refuse to judge them for doing whatever it is that they feel they have to do as their homeland, their ancient homeland is being taken from them, because that is not something that can be walked back. That is permanent. That is something that ends your existence as a people.
Now, to me, none of this is even remotely controversial. To my mind, any objective critique of Churchill as a British leader will assess him not only negatively, but as one of the worst, if not the worst leader of all time. A poll of my 35,000 or so Twitter followers agreed, ranking Churchill below Edward II, Henry VI, and Lord North. But unfortunately, the population at large is not the same as my Twitter following. Since the interview, the reaction has been nothing short of hysterical. The reaction against both Tucker Carlson and Daryl Cooper, well, it's been fascinating, really, to watch. The move to reassess Churchill was, with incredible intellectual dishonesty, viewed as a move by Tucker and Darrell to rehabilitate Hitler. The shriek from the regime, slop merchants, containment vessels, centre-right pundits of all sorts, has been loud, shrill, childish, and nothing short of extraordinary. Darrell has been handling it all very well, but he's got the eye of Sauron on him now. And if you're on social media, the very least you could do is just drop him a line or two of support, because that can be very scary indeed. Anyway, as everyone knows, I've been working on a book called The Boomer Truth Regime, which won't be published until late next year at the very earliest. If not, 2026, or even later than that. But I have written some of it already, and I thought that this might be a good opportunity to remind you about my central thesis and why Churchill is so central to post-World War II mythology. Now, what I'm about to read is, or can therefore, be considered a world exclusive, an extract from this book which won't be seen for 2 years or more, and may even never be seen. We shall have to watch this space. I mean, there's all sorts of things that could happen in the next 2 years. As I read this, I want you to look at the fat pig face of Churchill as much as you can. Don't let Lennon distract you. Look deep into Churchill's piggy eyes. To paraphrase David Bowie, we are living proof of his lies. The Boomer Truth Regime can be seen, in one sense, as the total supplanting of older pre-war truth regimes. For the insights of Bernays, Alul, Debord, Althusser and Foucault were internalized by the intelligentsia of the non-governing elite, which is to say the operating brain of the ruling class, and then utilized for their own purposes. This was not done in the service of a new Marxist state, as Debord or Althusser might have hoped for, but rather to stick with the Marxist lexicon, by capital, in the service of capital, against labour. The European and American, overwhelmingly white and male, labour force had dreamed of workers' rights and higher pay, which they received for a very brief period in the 1950s and in the 1960s, during which, as Harold Macmillan declared in July of 1957, they never had it so good. However, the ruling class responded by promoting feminism, civil rights, and mass immigration, all of which were fully institutionalized and instituted by 1965, in a basically successful bid to crush the political power of the predominantly white and male labour force, which was then pacified and in some cases quite literally drugged by a cocktail of cheap food, mass entertainment, pornography and other such spectacles. The story of World War I was the final defeat of the old aristocracy, together with its old, outmoded, discredited, mocked and despised chivalric values by the bourgeoisie. The story of World War II was the final defeat of labour by capital. The genius of the Boomer Truth Regime is in its ability to depict all this obviously top-down set of processes as being natural, bottom-up and representative of, quote-unquote, the will of the people for liberty and against oppression. In essence, the Boomer Truth Regime is a dualistic moral system, the two sides of which can be symbolised by two paradigmatic Englishmen who represent its negative and positive aspects, Winston Churchill and John Lennon. Churchill is the negative side, defined simply as the not Hitler and the outcome of World War II. This is a belligerent anti-fascism that pledges to never surrender against the ultimate evil of fascism, no matter the material costs. Lennon is the positive side, represented by the countercultural revolution of the 1960s, and is defined as the breaking down of all old boundaries, hierarchies, systems of belief, restraints, and controls upon the ultimate good of individual self-expression. It is expressed fully in his famous song Imagine, in which he wishes for an end to countries, organized religions, and the distinctions between all people. Another song by Lennon, God, written in the same year, teases out the full implications of this worldview. I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in I Ching. I don't believe in Bible. I don't believe in tarot. I don't believe in Hitler. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Kennedy. I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in mantra. I don't believe in Gita. I don't believe in yoga. I don't believe in kings. I don't believe in Elvis. I don't believe in Zimmerman. I don't believe in Beatles. I just believe in me, Yoko and me, and that's reality. This is the ultimate positive statement of Boomer Truth by Lennon. Anything that would seek to constrain this vision always already becomes fascism, the boundaries of which are policed by the always Churchill, not Hitler, side of the ledger. In this way, every political leader since Churchill is a rearticulation of Churchill, who is refighting Hitler. Every enemy of the West, Joseph Stalin, Ruhollah Khomeini, Slobodan Milosevic, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, Muhammad Gaddafi, Bashar al-Assad, Vladimir Putin, is Hitler reborn. By the same token, every hero of the West, Mahatma Gandhi, Albert Einstein, Simone de Beauvoir, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Steve Jobs, Madonna, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Barack Obama, and so on, are reborn. Whatever the actual facts of their lives or their real beliefs, to represent aspects of John Lennon's ultimate vision of liberation from oppression towards a world of realized and peaceful equality, in which the distinctions between people that were held in place by the battle castes dissolve as they are revealed to be only skin deep. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that little sneak preview of Boomer Truth Regime. Like I said, if you come across Daryl on social media, wish him well. He's got a lot of people after him at the moment, and he needs all our support. Back again tomorrow, folks. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.